There it is. Jen Romero, welcome to my show. And let's tell the story of how we got here.
Hello?
How to be Tom Shalhoub. Starring Tom Shalhoub. You know, not everybody wants to be Tom Shalhoub. But for those people who do, I guess this podcast is for them. I mean, you got to model yourself after someone, right? Might as well be me, Tom Shalhoub.
It's really uneventful, except someone was high as a kite and making a turn into the expressway. And I was trying to get out of there, and it was my right away, and he just happened to not pay attention, just clipped the front of my tire, and I have a very low sports car, so it's like that low to the ground.
Yeah.
So I mean,
was he confirmed high as a kite?
No, I know he was high. Everybody's high in New York. Just assuming. Because it wasn't my fault. So yeah. He was high.
But he wasn't, he didn't get,
he wasn't
taken down or anything like that.
No, weed's legal.
Okay. Because we were supposed to record at, I don't even know what time it is now. It's a little after 6:30. We were supposed to record at 4:30. You got into the accident. Then the police had to show up. So you had to do all that stuff.
All of that stuff. All I wanted to do was go home.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted. So paperwork, the same crap.
And I thought it was funny. Then you offered to do the podcast from your doctor's office. Do you have that kind of relationship with your doctor where you can go in and do a podcast?
She's actually my client, too, because I own a marketing firm. So I have a whole room downstairs. I could have ran down there and done it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do your whole story, because there's many facets to you. Okay. Start with the stand-up. When did you start doing stand-up?
Oh, gosh. I think 2008 I started doing it. And
what do you say? Oh, gosh, you think that's a long time?
It's a long time ago. That means I'm old because I was
2008.
Young.
That doesn't seem that long to me.
I wasn't getting Botox then. So it was a long time ago. But on my age calendar. Yeah, no, it's a long time ago. Yeah, 2008.
And you have kind of a political family, right? Your mother is a politician. Is that right?
My mother was the Republican chairwoman for New York.
Yeah.
And then, for Staten Island, she ran a bunch of campaigns, some we're not proud of, like Bush. But she was the ombudsman for Pataki, for Giuliani. Then she ran for borough president the last time around, and then she moved. So.
Wow. So for the borough of Staten Island.
Yes.
And your sister is in the political world as well. Is that right?
Yes. My adopted sister works for Nicole Malliotakis.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. And so you guys I've seen little clips. Do you do a show, like a live show occasionally, or you just kind of get on and do Zoom sometime?
No, I have a podcast. It's called The Right Stuff. It's me and my mom. It's every Tuesday at 7:00 Eastern time. And it's every week. We've been doing it for over 2 years.
Oh, so that's you and your mom.
It's me and my mom. I know. She looks good, right?
She does.
She goes to my doctor.
So there's no podcast with your sister then?
No.
Oh, that's great. Well, you tell your mom. I really thought it was your sister. I wasn't.
Will.
Yeah.
She's going to love you, Tom.
That's great. And what's your relationship with the Gas Digital guys? Because I think that's how you came to me.
The who?
Gas Digital. I mean, like Luis Gomez.
Oh, gosh. I started comedy. I used to travel around with them. I was in the Bob Levy crew. So.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Levy, when I had, I used to book for podcasts, I used to book all of the, like, Jim Norton and all those people.
Yeah.
And then finally somebody said, hey, why don't you start doing stand-up yourself since you love it so much? And I did. And then through that, I started headlining, which is where I met Luis Gomez. And I was a co-host at Tap Out Radio on Sirius XM, and Luis was a part of that. So everyone sort of grew together, and they got famous, and I didn't. So,
well,
you know, quasi TikTok famous, and that's it. That's
so you were at SiriusXM, and then when Lewis there then?
Lewis, it's so funny because there's a video of me and Lewis, me kicking the crap out of him at Sirius. I was practicing my MMA moves on him. I just saw her two nights ago. He was there. I don't remember why he was there. I think he had his own show coming up, like a podcast. So
that was pre-Gas Digital. Is that right?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. This is like 2011, 12, 13. Yep.
And you had your show on Sirius, but you're no longer there. You're kind of off on your own.
I was asked to leave because I tweeted out something. I wasn't a paid co-host. I wound up falling into it and being there for a couple of years. And Michelle Obama actually tweeted refugees welcome, hashtag refugees welcome. So I put up hashtag no refugees welcome. And Sirius was like, hey, Jen, guess what? You're not going to be co-hosting. I'm like, hey, Sirius, guess what? You don't even pay me. And someone just bought our show out anyway. So bye.
Wow. And that was, you were just responding to, I mean, you're supposed to be able to do that in Sirius XM radio. If you're talking about politics, you're responding to Michelle Obama, right?
Maybe now you can, but not then. They didn't like it. Somebody got their balls twisted.
Okay. I just happened to see a video of you recently. I don't know if it was recent, but I think it was. Or maybe it was an excerpt from the podcast or something, but you were talking about, I guess, kind of like soy boy type of guys. And you were like, put down the latte, cut off the man bun, and put away the cardigan. And so I wrote that down. I said, I've got to bring that up with Jen. Like, is cardigan, does that go with man bun and latte? Is that like, because I'm a cardigan guy, but I have a kind of a Mr. Rogers vibe, you know? And I didn't know cardigan was associated with the man bun.
Well, that was during the Hillary Clinton Trump days when they were running, because I had.
That's old. Okay.
It's old. And I was on a date. I was on like a Tinder or a match date, whatever it was, with someone. And it was our first date. And it was right before the election. And we were talking about who we were going to vote for. And I said Trump. And he started crying. And he had a bun. And he was drinking a latte. And he was wearing a cardigan.
Yeah.
So I basically just got up. I told him to get rid of the latte, the cardigan, the man bun, and I left.
Okay. So he started crying when you said Trump.
Crying.
That's amazing, but not really that amazing when you think about it.
No. It's not. It's the norm, basically, from that side.
Staten Island. Why do you think Staten Island is the... Why is Staten Island conservative? I don't know much about Staten Island. I've spent some time out there. Why is it conservative?
I think it's predominantly made up of blue-collar workers, city workers.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why. I think that it's more of a family-oriented. It's a smaller community, so everyone can see what's wrong, what's going on, what's right, what should be done. Everyone knows each other, and they're just really about, you know, keeping each other protected and, you know, doing the right thing and, you know, property taxes. And when you think about it, all of the things, like fiscally, they're very conservative. And they were sheltered.
Do you think it was always that way? Because blue collar, it is true. In modern America, the blue collar is MAGA America, but it didn't used to be. I think that, Republicans were the white collar guys. So if we start to go back before 1980, weren't a lot of Joe Lunchpail type of guys Democrats because they were in the union and things like that?
Well, I mean, the Democratic Party was also much more blue dog. It wasn't liberal like it is now.
Yeah.
So there wasn't like, it was just Republican, Democrat. And when you think about it, it wasn't so far off like it is now. Now you have liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat. You know, there's such a divide that it's such an extremist kind of like political ring.
Yeah.
That I think that back then it wasn't as extreme to be pointed out in a certain light. It wasn't so bad, but I just think that, you know, history evolves. Everything evolves in life. And I think the harder you work, the more you want your money, the more you want to keep it in your pocket as much as you can and not pay for other people or other people that don't belong here or property taxes that don't make sense. And I think that that's how, as a small community, more of a suburb and not a city, like a big city, that I think that's how it evolved more so of being more conservative.
Yeah. And obviously there's been a lot of changes in conservatives. I've been in New York since 1990. So I campaigned for Bush. I went down to Philadelphia and knocked on doors for Bush. There was this group called Blogs for Bush back when blogs were a thing, you know, and everyone was kind of blogging. Mm-hmm. And I was in stand-up. Again, it wasn't that big of a deal. A lot of people hated Bush, but I think your average right winger was very pro-Bush. You said, like, oh, you know, you weren't too proud of your family's association that your mom, you know, was chairing for Bush and things like that. But back in those days,
oh yeah, it was great. Now he's a jerk. Average,
yeah. Now, you were obviously, since your mom was working on, was kind of like you're saying like the Bush campaign.
She won it for him in Staten Island. She ran his campaign here. Yeah. She was the head of the campaign here. And she won it.
Yes. So your family saw that whole kind of switch over. Now the Bush family and, you know, Romney, take your pick. All of these establishment Republicans, Cheney, obviously Liz Cheney, they're all essentially Democrats now. I mean, they're campaigning against not only Trump, and that's the thing, because Trump made them lose their minds, but, you know, guys like Romney and I don't really know how George Bush, where he stands on someone like Ron DeSantis, but your basic establishment Republicans, Adam Kinzinger and these kind of characters, Liz Cheney hates Ron DeSantis. So essentially Liz Cheney, I feel Trump got in her brain so badly that she just became a left-wing Democrat. How did that all happen?
Well, think about how weak you can be to let somebody get in your brain like that. No, I'm serious. Think about how weak you have to be as a human being to let one person get in your head like that, where you change your whole view of life and everything you believe in has done a complete turnaround just because you hate somebody.
Yeah.
Think about what's inside your brain. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He had a little bit of something to mold and mess with, and she fell for it. I mean, that's not a person that stands behind what they believe, obviously. Just because they don't like something doesn't mean that you just change all of your views. I know plenty of people who did not like Trump as a person, but voted for him for his politics and what he stood for.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know anybody. I know that we all dislike Biden tremendously, but I don't know anybody that's totally, like, you know, went off the deep end. Just, you know, he doesn't affect people mentally, the people that I know that I associate myself with. Yeah. When somebody can affect, like, be such an effect on your mental well-being and what you believe in, I think that's, there's an issue lying right there, right in front of you.
It is amazing. You know, I was just looking at your social media, and you're kind of like, TikTok is almost your biggest platform. Is that right?
Yeah, and I hardly ever go on it because
it's funny. Yeah, so, but you started posting there, and then you just have, it's almost the opposite of me. Like, I think on Twitter, you don't really have much, but you've got all of this big following over there on TikTok, right? You don't really use Twitter, is that right?
I just got it. My mom was visiting 2 weeks ago. She's like, you have to go on Twitter. I was like, I refuse to do it. I used to have a huge following on Twitter, and I canceled it before, I think right when COVID started.
Uh-huh.
It just didn't do anything for me. And one of my business partners, like, you have to do TikTok. You have to do TikTok. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. He made me do it. And then within a week, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, okay. And I went on to, you know, douchebag de Blasio and making fun of him and going crazy and going up down to Greasy Mansion for Thanksgiving and messing with him, you know, and it became fun. And then, you know, I've got somewhat of a life where I had to work. And COVID was over, then I really get back in the game. And so I took a break, but I'm back now. They banned me for a while. I was banned for, they took my money away. I was getting paid for nothing. I never cursed. I never put any false information, just my thoughts. I never use anything in the wrong way or, you know, poorly, but they took that away. They banned me from live for a year.
That's, you're talking about Twitter.
Yeah. No, TikTok. I'm talking about TikTok. And they asked me to come back.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with TikTok. I'm not one of these people that, obviously, around Fox News, there's a lot of people that are, TikTok, China, they're stealing our data and things like that. I mean, I don't really think that TikTok is much different from Mark Zuckerberg or Google. They're all terrible tech companies. Of course, they're stealing our data. Of course, they're using algorithms to try to manipulate us. Yeah. But I really think, I mean, obviously, I think TikTok's probably a little bit worse. Yeah, they're probably
business
a little worse.
Yeah,
because they're Chinese, and I do think that they, and I don't know, maybe you're more of a user of it. I have an account, and sometimes I put my Joe Biden videos up there, but no one seems to I just don't get any traction on TikTok. So I put my videos on Instagram. That seems to be where they get lots of, you know, lots more views, right? But have you noticed that TikTok, you know, I feel like they do, the algorithm favors things that make Americans upset. And in that way that, you know, China likes Americans to be always kind of like, you know, battling and things like that. So this latest TikTok, what was the latest controversy on TikTok that,
the girl, what's her name? So it's an A, the one with Bin Laden's.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. Perfect. That was it. Last week, the people were reading Bin Laden's manifesto on there, which had been public knowledge for years, but all of a sudden it was hot again. And why did these videos, you know, gain traction? What do you think? I think maybe China goosed it a little bit.
Well, they banned her, first off. She's banned. She had 2 million followers. That was her livelihood. It's gone. They mm-hmm. took her down.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, they came up with, now they have TikTok ads. You can boost, you can promote your videos. And yeah. I tested it out one day and threw $20 on one of the most political videos I have. And guess what? It passed. Yep. It passed $20 and it passed. So nobody's watching. They're in it to make money.
Yep.
That's what they're doing. They're rivals with Instagram. Instagram got their reels after TikTok. Then Instagram tried to give incentives to get people away from TikTok. Then they ended, they ran out of money. Now it's back to TikTok. I really honestly don't think that they're even trying to do anything. I think that people can now pay for people to see their stuff.
Yeah.
And they're accepting it because there's no boundaries, there's no rules.
Yeah.
And it really just depends on who catches you and who reports it and who's on the other side of that report. Like yeah. I called the migrants a bunch of Karens because they've been complaining about everything. They took that down for harassing and some behavior. And I appealed it. I was like, I called them a Karen. Every other video anywhere, people are called Karens. Tell me how this is harassing. That's all I said. They gave it back to me. And then I put the $20 on it and they passed it.
Yeah. Well, it's probably, I'm assuming it wasn't the word Karen or that.
Well, it's the only thing I said.
Well, you did say migrant as well, right? So I think things, they flag anything that says migrant.
Well, they are migrants.
I mean, it's true. You know, definitionally they are, but that's probably what, you know, that's what happened at you know, it wasn't migrants. What was it on Sirius XM? You said refugees, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those kind of words. Someone hears migrant, refugee, illegal immigrant, you know, that's what sets off the
what are they, your
belt.
New neighbor? I don't know what you're saying. My new neighbor. What am I supposed to say?
You talk a lot about New York politics, which I don't think enough people do. I heard you the other day going off on Kathy Hochul, and isn't it remarkable? This is essentially what you were saying in your video. How remarkable it is that Kathy Hochul was reelected. I mean, is there a worse governor in America than Kathy Hochul?
No. And wherever she gets her Botox is horrific. Have you never eyebrows there once a year?
She's frozen for sure.
She's horrible now. She is by far. Now she's passing laws. I mean, first off, migrants or legal aliens, whatever you want to call them, they're allowed to vote in New York in local elections. You don't have to be a citizen now. You can vote in local elections. And she's also passing a law after.
I should know that.
Yeah.
It's so.
Last year.
What is it? So like a Westchester County executive or something like that? Or by local elections, you mean what?
City, I think I would have to look that up again because I don't remember. Local here is like city council. No, it wouldn't be city council because that's too. It could be. I'd have to look it up again.
I know, but in California, they can run for the school boards. So, you know, that's definitely local elections. They are happening in some places, but I didn't know that it was already happening in New York.
Yeah, last year.
Too. Yeah.
And now she's letting you, let's see, if you were in jail, you did your time. You can't have your records. They're sealed. And they're like, come on. When are the people that the tax paying law abiding citizens safe? When do we get to be safe? Why are we saving everybody else?
Yeah, I mean,
like, okay, sure. So you held up four delis over a course of 5 years. Come live in my house. Oh, you look like a great guy, Brad. No, it's not. Stop it.
I think I heard on one of your, maybe it was on the video with the man bun. Did your mother hit you with a spoon when you were younger?
I have it over there. I'm looking right at it. I cook with it.
You cook with the spoon. And what did you call it in the video? I forget.
The weapon of ass destruction.
Yeah.
Half the handle's missing because she was cooking gravy or sauce with it on a Sunday and it burned.
Yeah.
So I still have half the spoon that I use every Sunday.
Do you guys have dinner every Sunday, like a big dinner?
Well, we did until they abandoned me and moved. So, No, we did. We always did. It was always a childhood thing up until my brother passed probably 8 years ago. There was like 30 of us every Sunday.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? I blame social media too, because everyone sees each other all week that you don't even think you need to get dressed and shower and go somewhere on a Sunday. Because you see everything that's going on. My cousin got engaged yesterday. I knew because this morning I woke up and went on Instagram. No, it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's sad. So then Sunday dinners you don't need anymore.
Right. You can just do this. You can keep in touch with them. It gives you that permission to be like, all right, I already saw them. I know what's going on with them.
Yeah. Like, you see Tony's dog? Yeah, they got a dog. Okay, great. You don't need, there's no more ringing the bell and sitting down and eating Entenmann's and Senka and telling them, everyone, what you did.
Yeah.
They all know. We're all stalkers in this world. We see
you. The other thing I've noticed with you, a lot of people, a lot of right-wingers even, they seem to let Mayor Adams off the hook. They'll go after Kathy Hochul. They'll go after Gavin Newsom. But there's this strange thing. I mean, I don't know how Adams did it. He kind of convinced people he was a good guy. Like, I don't know, he would stand next to police officers occasionally, and every once in a while he would say, we don't have to defund the police. And then all the conservatives were like, oh, he's a good guy, he's one of us. But, you know, I don't think you let him off the hook, especially with the migrant situation. He comes out on TV and he says, oh, we're getting killed by the migrants, and he criticizes Biden. So the Republicans all think, oh, Adams is criticizing Biden. He's a good guy. But I don't think he's a good guy, and I don't think you do either.
No. First off, he was a Republican, and I think he still is. He hangs out with all of he is a closet Republican. When he was a cop, I will tell you, and I know all of this information, he was all for the brothers and all for that, and that's it. He had an agenda. He had an agenda. He wanted to, you know, bring his friends with him, go up the ranks, and he did it. And, you know, now he's giving them all jobs. And, you know, he set out to get what he wanted. And with the migrant situation, he was welcoming them in the beginning. And now he's freaking out because, again, there's no plan. Who I blame in all this, and I don't blame him, there are times I'm like, I actually feel bad for this man. Listen, his attitude, he might be an arrogant, kind of like snooty kind of person that doesn't seem approachable.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the person who's to blame for all of this is Biden. It's the person who welded the gates open at the borders, who's letting everyone in and has no idea what's going on. He has not gone to these cities, these towns that are being infiltrated by these migrants. There's nothing being done. What I blame Adams for, see, Adams should have sat down with a pen and a piece of paper and written down exactly what needed to be done, because instead he wasted our money erecting a campsite with tents here, taking it down a few days later, then putting it over here, taking it down a few days later, putting it up here in a field that was already he was told by the FDNY this is not safe. What he should do is take these migrants. Rikers is inhumane. It's inhumane for people going to prison. They cannot live there. It's disgusting. No one can work there. Our officers, there's asbestos, there's mold, there's this and that. Listen, take Rikers, get these migrants, bring them in. There's a roof, there's heat, there's air, there's kitchens, there's running water, there's plumbing. Ask them, you want a job? You've been screaming about it, because I'll tell you right now, only 2% of the migrants applied for jobs last month. All of the people are up in arms about not having a job. We will give you your papers, you'll start paying taxes, you will have a job. What do you know how to do? Do you know how to do laundry? They could do the inmates' laundry. Do you know how to paint? Do you know how to do plumbing? Do you know how to mow lawns? Do you know how to do roofing? Let them fix up the infrastructure of Rikers and live. Make the jail cells that aren't being used, because no one's going to jail, thanks to Braggs, make them into little dorms. That's your room. You have walls, you have a door, you have a toilet bowl. This is yours. Here you go. Here's your papers. Now you're working. Let's go. You want citizenship? Let them do that. And we can actually move it through the infrastructures of New York City. They can continue on fixing things that are broken, that the city's saying is way too much money. because, you know, our construction workers and our union guys, you know how much they make. So if we could get them to do it, and they're giving back into the tax, you know, the tax pool and paying into society, you know, that's the only thing in my brain that would actually work with this situation that's going on right now.
I think it's a pretty practical idea. Although if you were running for office, they would say, you know, crazy MAGA lunatic Jen Romero wants to put migrants in Rikers. You know, that they wouldn't.
Or we could put them in tents in the field with no plumbing or anything. I don't know.
Now, have you been? I think you mentioned the Roosevelt Hotel. I walk by there all the time because when I go into the city, I go into Grand Central. I have to walk by the Roosevelt to get to Fox News, and I don't think most people realize. I mean, that used to be one of our old great hotels, and it is now. It's like you're walking into a foreign country.
What is that called in California? Valley, Valley. The valley, like the old, where all the homeless people live.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the, it's next to downtown. I mean, it's like Skid Row, basically.
Skid Row?
Right?
Skid Row? No, is it Skid Row?
I mean, that's what Skid Row, they call it any slum that's, you know, in any area. But
well,
I think
that's New York's new name.
Yeah.
No, it's terrible. I mean, how is that okay, but not giving them an opportunity to have everything more than a tent? And giving them work and having them pay back into society, into the system. I don't understand why this isn't being utilized. And it's so funny because after I said it, and I keep saying it over and over again on social, Curtis Sliwa said it. He finally did. 3 months later.
He's great. I like Curtis, and I can't believe people didn't vote for him when he ran for mayor, which he has, I think, several times.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, what do you think about Trump? What's going to happen with Trump? I really didn't think Trump had a chance. I thought that I've been saying for years, everybody I know, oh, Trump's going to come back bigger than ever. I've been saying for a year, Trump is going to lose, and he's going to lose big. They know how to beat him. They cheat. I mean, they're going to, and they say, well, they cheated last time. They're going to cheat the same this time.
Well, so I always say that too. That's anybody that's going to run against him.
Yes. But lately, I'm not so sure. The past couple of months, I'm thinking like, maybe I was wrong about that. Maybe, because I saw this wave of young people coming in. There's so many people who voted for Trump in 2016 who are dead. I mean, that was so long ago. They are no longer with us. And the younger voters that are coming up, we have people who were, in 2016, they were how old? 8 years old or something. And now they're, you know, getting to be voting age.
But my son could vote.
Your son could vote. But young people, they really just see Biden as a doddering old man. And Trump may do better with 20-year-olds than I thought. What do you think?
I think that, again, like what you said, in my heart, I'm like, there's no win-win situation when they can cheat like that. Yeah. Okay. But think if he right now it's showing that he's way up there, but it also showed that the last time. So I mean, we don't know what they can rig, what they can do. They're trying. I think that with so much light shed on the cheating of the other election, the past election with Biden, I think that they actually, their alternative was trying to get him put in jail so that he definitely couldn't run. And they're really trying right now, but he got passed, and I think it was Michigan the other day, the judge ruled that he can run in Michigan.
Yeah, they were trying to get him off of several ballots. I don't think that...
The judge ruled for him to stay on. Yeah. You know, this is more so, even if you hated Trump, you actually love him now because you're like, what the F? Like, how much more can someone take? You're just getting pounded to the ground. I think that if he does run and he wins the primary, which I know he's going to, if Biden's running, he's definitely going to win. I think if they put Robert Kennedy Jr. in, it's going to be a tough call.
Yeah. You never know what happens with him running. I don't know what he would take from, because I love Robert Kennedy Jr. because I love his COVID policy.
Yeah.
And let's face it, Trump was pretty much a dunce on COVID because he kept Fauci in, and he's still bragging about his stupid vaccine. So Trump is a bit of a knucklehead on COVID. And I think a lot of the real COVID people are like, you know, they're going to vote for Kennedy. Then you got Jill Stein coming in. So if all these people come into the race, you never know where it's going to go.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I love Tim Scott for the Republican Party. I wish that, you know, he would pull through. That's not happening. The
Isn't
only
he
other
a little
thing,
soft with the our better angels are behind us. Like every time I want to like Tim Scott, but he's still doing that old happy Republican dance of like, oh, our better angels, and we're the future is ahead of us. I'm like, stop it with the happy talk.
He'll definitely put you to sleep if he speaks. 100%. He's a lullaby president, but the only other thing they have in their back pocket, which might come down to as like the final thing, is Michelle Obama running in and jumping into the race.
You think so?
She would win.
They keep bringing her up. Like,
I know. I feel like it's their ammunition in the back. It's that secret, that last attack, that pounce, like the cat's out of the grass. Like that's Michelle comes out. I have a feeling that, you know, this may wind up turning sour like this, where she's going to come out and say she's running.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And when I say, just to be clear, when I say cheating, you're not supposed to say cheating. Oh, they cheated. You can't say that. It's not, you know, when I think just talking about what they legally did, you know, Mark Zuckerberg running the elections in several cities, that's cheating.
Yeah.
Having mail-in ballots in urban areas, to me, that's cheating because, of course, we know what they do. They collect votes. It's called ballot harvesting. But they've made it legal. So I may be saying cheating. They may have cheated legally, and they're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying. So it's cheating. But if you cheat and then a judge says, well, what you did is okay because that's just get out the voter effort. If you can't get a judge to admit that it's cheating, then it's legal and they've done it. And I think they're going to do it again.
They need to call it ethical. And what they need to do is just like when you go into Madison Square Garden, there's face recognition. You have to get into your phone. It's face recognition. You need to have face recognition at the polling sites. And no one can say that's prejudice because everybody has a face, no matter what. So, you know, either a fingerprint or a face recognition. And I would go by face because a lot more people have faces than are missing fingerprints. So,
yeah. Oh, no. They'll just take, with the mail-in voting, they'll just stick somebody's finger on they'll collect fingerprints and they'll get it done.
No, it has to be a face recognition. And you know what? We have to think of a better system for the people that are stuck at home. You know, there has to be something on your phone. It has to be something better.
The phone? No, they will totally take advantage.
Listen,
I don't want the phone.
It's better than the papers going through the mail.
Yeah, that is true.
Nothing's going to get any worse than that.
I know. And Republicans think they can get better at this kind of vote collecting, but obviously they're not as good at it as the Democrats, nor will they ever be, because the Democrats have those urban centers that are just loaded with people. And like I said, it's not even real people that are voting. They just go into a neighborhood and they get a vote for everybody and they stuff it in a bag and they get it.
Not even that. And you can't come out. Here's a bus. Let's go. We're all going to go to the polling site. So everybody, let's go get on the bus.
Yeah. Remarkable. Okay. Well, Jen, this was a great conversation. Thanks for doing it. I'm glad we got you in. You know, we were going to postpone it to a different day, but then at the last minute you said, hey, I can go now. And I said, let's go.
I did. And I'm here.
So I record this ahead of time. I'll post it next week. And, you know, maybe we'll do this again sometime.
I'm here. Listen, tell everyone the right stuff. Tuesdays, go on Facebook, Rumble, YouTube.
Yeah. And is it also syndicated as a podcast or is it only live?
No, I don't even know what that means. It's live. Well, I mean, we have like all the episodes go up on Rumble. They go up on YouTube. So, no, it's not only live. It's syndicated. Yes, we're on StreamYard and it goes on to.
Yeah. So they can go on Rumble and watch all the past episodes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Rumble. It's called The Right Stuff.
Great. Excellent.
Thank you for having me.
Jen Remaro.
Bye.
Bye-bye.